Now, with only 9 days left until Christmas, we as Catholic Christians should prepare for Jesus' birth by serving those in need rather than focusing on what awaits us under the Christmas tree. These are the words of Pope Francis this past Sunday during his Angelus address. Now joining us to talk much more about preparing for Christmas by serving others is Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary and a regular contributor to Morning Air and Relevant Radio. To learn much more about the University of Mary, visit cometomary.life. Good morning, Monsignor Shea. Happy Advent. Welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. Always a joy to be with you.
Good morning, John. It's a joy to be with you as well as we get ready for Christmas. Advent is in its prime right now, and our hearts are preparing, and pretty soon Christmas will be here.
And we count our blessings that we got you on the show, because our phone lines are actually down, and a lot of businesses' phone lines are down, and a lot of issues going on with all the high winds and all the reported tornadoes across the Great Plains and Midwest just last night. And that just comes less than a week after what we saw, the devastation that happened in Kentucky. So our hearts are with anybody that's going through a difficult time here at Christmas time.
Right. Well, so it's an interesting thing, because I think we can sentimentalize Christmas, John, and we can think that Christmas is meant to say that that everything is cheerful and bright and joyful all the time in our lives, and that's how our lives should be. Our lives should go along without a hitch. There should be no suffering, all of those kinds of things. And in the materialist society, you know, the Pope talked about in his message yesterday, he talked about how rather than thinking about what's under the Christmas tree for us, rather than seeking out the presents which we think are due to us, we're meant to pour our lives out. We're meant to serve others instead. And that is the essence of our lives as Christians, our lives as Catholics. We're not meant to be in this world so that we can take and take and acquire. We're meant to be in this world so that we can give. And not just to give in a sort of empty philanthropic sense. We're meant to give because the world is a darkened place which needs the light of Christ. So we look out and we see a vast sea of suffering, people who have endured weather disasters in the last few days, people who have financial crises in their lives or in their families, people who themselves or their loved ones are dealing with great sickness. We think about all of the throes of the pandemic that we've been through. We think about our political situation, and we can easily lose heart. And this is the world, the darkened world that the Christ child came to enter and to penetrate with God's redeeming love. And so it's important for us to remember the truths of our faith. And one of the ways, one of the key ways in which we can welcome the Christ child is to pour our hearts out in service to those in need. In other words, you encourage people earlier to donate to Catholic Charities in Kentucky because people are in real need there right now. That's the kind of thing that makes space in our hearts. Acts of charity make space in our hearts such that the Christ child really can find a home there when he comes at Christmas. And so I think it's important for us to not to over-sentimentalize the gospel message of Christ coming and make it simply a symbol of him coming to cheer up a world that's already pretty joyful and going along the way that it should. That's not the message of the gospel at all. Christ came in to a world desperately in need of him, a world with suffering people, a world with people under the burden of sin and darkness, and he set us free. He lit us up. And that's what we need to prepare our hearts for as Christmas arrives.
Absolutely. Monsignor, nobody knows the day or the hour. I can't begin to tell you how much my heart has been touched by seeing the images of the devastation in Kentucky and in a number of other states, but especially in Kentucky. I mean, it looked like scenes out of, an atomic bomb, Hiroshima. I mean, it's unbelievable. And to see the images of little children in candlelight processions, praying for the families, to see the acts of charity, really the corporal works of mercy mercy that so many people are doing to try to help out here during Christmas time, during Advent, in whatever way they can. I mean, there's people getting in their cars and driving to Kentucky just to help find survivors, to help people. One guy just brought a bunch of water to give out to people. Another guy brought food to give out to people. There's so many stories of people's hearts being enlarged here during this special time in which we're preparing our hearts for the coming of the baby Jesus.
Right. You know, those scenes which are so touching, first they're heartrending, and then they're beautiful. Because what we see there is the worst of the human experience, the extreme and excruciating suffering which is possible in human life, and which visits in a certain sense every human life, depending upon the sort of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. It can be very difficult to be a human being sometimes. It can be difficult to be in this life. And so the worst of the human experience is meant to be met by the best of the human experience. And so what you've got in those scenes are people who are victims of great devastation and who through no fault of their own find themselves in really difficult circumstances. And you have those people being met by those who are pouring themselves out in service to others. I always tell our students here at the University of Mary that as they consider their life, because remember, they're young and they're standing on the doorstep of their lives, I said, your life is not about you. It's your life, yes it is, but it's not about you. And unless you find a way to pour yourself out in love, unless you find a way to get those talents and gifts that you have and give them away lavishly in service of other people, you'll never find happiness, joy, or real fulfillment, because that's what we're meant to do in response to the suffering of others. You know, of course, this is Charles Dickens' classic story about Scrooge, who turned away from others in their need and who needed to be jostled out of that by the ghosts of Christmas past and present and future and all of those things. But we don't need a story book. We don't need fiction in order to tell us that that's what we ought to do. The Holy Father reminded us in his message yesterday that what's important is for us to open the pages of the gospel. And there we see Jesus Christ, and we see him pouring himself out on every page in the service of others. He came to confront death, which is our greatest enemy, and to defeat it. And he came in such an amazing way. You know, he came as just a small child. And the world is so full of fear, and our lives are so gripped by fear, that Jesus came in such a way that we wouldn't be afraid of him. Because who's afraid of a baby? Nobody. And so the whole point of Christmas, the whole point of the season for which we prepare, is that God wants to break through our deafness. He wants to provide for us a clear sign of his great love, that he hasn't just come to explain to us why we suffer, he's come to do something about it, and that's deeply comforting.
We're joined this morning by Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary, talking about preparing our hearts for Christmas by serving others. Monsignor, it is so easy in everyday life to be caught up with buying presents, the Christmas list, or organizing parties, going to fancy Christmas office parties, and so much more. But the question becomes, what can we do for our Lord Jesus in our own respective way?
That's right. So when we think about all of the traditions that surround Christmas, the buying and the giving of gifts, the fancy parties and all of those things, you know, we have to determine what is that all about? So we live in a very prosperous society. We live in a time in which a lot of the suffering which human beings through the centuries have endured doesn't come to visit us very often. And when it does come to visit us, because we're so sophisticated, we have so many resources, we're really shocked by it. We're shocked that we're still vulnerable human beings. And so when we engage in all of these Christmas traditions, we should ask ourselves, what is it all for? Is it to deepen our sense of joy and celebration? If that's true, we should do it. You know what I mean? In other words, if that's true, to express outwardly the inward joy that we feel, the genuine relief that we feel at having been saved, at living in a darkened world where there's all kinds of suffering, but knowing that we're not alone in it, that God is Emmanuel and he's with us. If our celebration, if our exchanging of giving and receiving of gifts, if that's an expression of the deep joy and hope which we find within us, then that's great. And it's exactly the way that we should respond, without being sentimental or without having a Pollyanna attitude that nothing is wrong, and never forgetting all of those in our lives and all of those in the world who have less than we do and who are in need. So that's one way of approaching the question of Christmas. Another way of approaching the question is all of those parties and the giving and receiving of gifts being a superficial distraction from the real work of life, from the real vocation that each of us have as Christians and as Catholics, to live for Christ, to welcome the Christ child into our hearts. In other words, those things, the practices of Christmas, and I think this is a creeping temptation for all of us, can grip us in such a way that they distract us and anesthetize us from the real work of the spiritual life. And we forget about what Christmas really is meant to be. And we allow ourselves to be crowded with all kinds of anxieties and fears and despair, even though on the surface we're appearing to be joyful. And that, of course, is a sad story. And it happens to good people. And so we have to, at this point, and this is why I'm happy, John, that you've asked that we have this conversation here just a little more than a week before Christmas arrives, such that we can check our hearts and say, where are we at interiorly right now? And wherever that is, we need to do our best to rally close to the heart of Christ. Last night, I had the Christmas party that I have for all of the incoming freshmen. So they've just finished their first semester here at the University of Mary. They're just entering into their final examinations before they go home for the holiday. And I have them over to my residence, and I talk to them just to give them words of encouragement and to make sure that they understand that they're known, that they're seen, that they're loved. And that's really important. It's really important for them, and it's important for them as they go into their final exams to remember that the Lord is with them and that they're meant to receive from him the joy of their lives. All of us need to be reminded of that.
Monsignor Shea, I was very uplifted by the words of Pope Francis this past week, who reminded us, and he said, quote, just like the preparations people make to welcome a guest to their home by cleaning and preparing the best dinner possible, Christians must do the same with the Lord. Just think of the image. You know, we get the house all clean, the beautiful dining room table, everything's all set and ready to go. Well, we need to do the same thing with our own hearts, with our own minds. And really focus on what it's really all about, living for our Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of the baby Jesus.
Right, and the Holy Father went on to say, he said that this preparation, this receiving of Christ as the guest who is coming, this is Advent, of course, and so we're reminded of that, the guest who is coming all the time, at any moment, to be prepared in that way prompts the question through the Gospel of Luke, what should I do with my life? What am I called to do? What will I become? And that's not just a question for students at a university like the place where I spend my time. It's a question for each and every one of us, for you, John, for me, and for all of our listeners. We have to ask all the time, what is the Lord doing? He's not dormant. He's not sleeping. He's really awake and alive in our lives, and he's doing something. What is he doing? What's the Lord up to? That constant sense of discernment, of never losing sight of God's providential care and intent in our lives, that provides us with the type of readiness that we need, such that when he does break upon our life, when he does arrive in his goodness and in his glory, we'll be ready for him. And that's really important for us. And so that vocational question, what am I doing with my life? What am I called to do? And what will I become as a result of that? is deeply, deeply important for each of us as we get ready for Christmas.
I'm reminded of Matthew 25, where our Lord says, whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do unto me. And so all of those many different corporal and spiritual works of mercy, we have these golden opportunities that pop up and are obviously in front of us here during Advent. These are things that we're not just doing it for the folks, we're doing it for Jesus.
Yeah, so the and that of course that message that Christ is truly present in our neighbor, especially as Mother Teresa used to say, when Jesus is in the distressing disguise of the poor and the needy, when Jesus disguises himself right in the midst of our life, right in the person that we're able to see in the morning or in the evening every day, that's when we really come into our true vocation as servants of Jesus, and when we're able to begin to approach that sanctity to each of us, which each of us is called to, when we seek out those hidden in our lives who are Jesus in our midst and serve them. Whatever we do to him, whatever we do to them, we're doing to him.
Monsignor, a couple quick thoughts before I let you go. We have 9 days to go before Christmas. Many of the novenas, the traditional Christmas novenas, are beginning today. I know in the Hispanic, the Latin American world, it's a really big deal, the Christmas novena. It's also an opportunity to meditate on the gospel readings here leading up to Christmas, and also to make it to confession. Just your thoughts on one final recommendation. Perhaps you can inspire the folks to do something here before Christmas.
Yes, let's focus upon going to confession for just a moment. The confessions that I hear, so we have a bunch of parishes here in Bismarck, North Dakota, and we have penance services, and I go around to each of them and listen to the confessions. Sometimes people haven't been to confession in a long time. Good people who really just haven't gotten around to it, or who have been away because of fear or something like that. I always encourage going to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, making a very good confession in preparation for Christmas. All that we've been talking about comes down to this, that we clear out space in our hearts to receive the Christ child and to be reconciled to God, to come to God and to receive his mercy, his gift of mercy, which is so infinite, is irreplaceable for us in this beautiful season. So let's all make a good confession in preparation for Christmas.
Absolutely. Well, Monsignor Shea, thank you so much for being with us. All throughout this year, it's always a joy to be with you. This is our last time together until 2022, but I want to wish you a very blessed the rest of the way here in Advent and a very Merry Christmas.
I wish the same to you and to all of our listeners. God bless you. Blessed last days of Advent. Merry Christmas, and I'll see you in the new year.
Thank you so much. Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary and a regular contributor to Morning Air. To learn much more about the University of Mary, visit cometomary.life.